right, so stop me if you've heard this before, but the we had a fun topic today. I wanted to do a brainstorm episode where I was going through my notebook. I didn't know which topic to land on. I thought all of them were kind of like good enough to talk about for a little. And I was like, oh, let's maybe do most of them or kind of do a brainstorm because I think our phone conversations when I'm like in the car picking out what to talk about a lot of the time end up more interesting than the episode. So I was like, why don't we just try that out in real time? But then, alas,
we're both driving, by the way.
And only...
It's not like we're driving. Always. It's not like we're in the car together. It's just in case people are imagining it in their heads. It's like we're driving around town waving to people, like... brainstorm sessions.
I like that more. Okay, no, I'm going to pick you up for the ride so we can chat like we're the guys in Pulp Fiction trying to come up with a history topic. So, yeah, I wanted to do a brainstorm episode, and then I went online, and like I do every episode, I type in this day in history to see if there's a cool little tidbit that I could open up the episode with or something like that. And I realized that right here in Studio MB, we have somebody that lived a piece of history that happened today. I mean, years ago today, this day in 1977, August 10th. The Son of Sam. Do you know anything about the Son of Sam? Nando?
Enough, I think, but not as much as I should.
So, the Son of Sam was he's a serial killer, but he was kind of that very special heyday of serial killer that left the fun notes and had a very specific, kind of the beginning of you know, people that started to show kind of repetitive behavior in their murders and stuff like that. And he was deep in, I believe, Queens. But it's not for me to talk about. I have a survivor of the Son and Summer of Sam with me, Miss Caroline Manzo, my mother. Mom, you have been, for lack of a better word, bragging that you lived through this most of my childhood to today. When I hear Summer of Sam, Son of Sam, I think of you.
Well, you know, it's funny because he did. It was in my neighborhood. And I was in high school, I believe a freshman or a sophomore, about 15 years old. And actually one or two of the victims knew your uncles. So it was very close to us. It was terrifying time. Where we would walk to school and we weren't allowed to walk to school alone. We had to walk to school in groups. If we went to a friend's house, we had to go in groups. We couldn't go out after dark. I lived that fear of being a victim of his, as many of my contemporaries at the time.
So for those that don't know, David Berkowitz, which I have to say, as far as serial killers go, with the Son of Sam and all that, the name doesn't fit his whole thing. I'll say that. To me, David Berkowitz does not sound like a menacing person. When you look at him, he looks a bit like someone that could maybe be from dad's side.
He was a postal worker, too.
But he looks a little bit like a Manzo. No?
I don't think so. He had curly hair, piercing blue eyes.
When I show you that?
Like in a good-looking way? Like that's kind of, you know, pretty eyes kind of things you have?
Or no, I kind of get the vibe. My dad's...
What's a serial killer name? Ted Kaczynski?
Actually, is that a... we don't have to mark this out. It's all right.
Theodore Kaczynski?
Ted Kaczynski's a definite serial killer name.
David Berkowitz isn't?
Ted... Jeffrey Dahmer is...
That's
a pretty perfect serial killer name.
It's a great name for a serial killer.
Second to John Wayne Gacy. John Wayne Gacy's a pretty good one.
Good one.
No? Nando?
No, I'm actually Googling serial killer names right now. Sorry.
you're good. So
I feel like I'm missing Jack the Ripper.
I mean, but that's the thing.
But that
Jack's
was
last
his
name.
Nickname. It wasn't his name.
Yeah, well, his last name might have been like Stevens, and then it's completely useless, you know? But then kudos to him for knowing, hey, I'm early. I'm a pioneer of the game. I can't just go with my last name, I have to go with the Ripper. For those who don't know about Mr. David Berkowitz,
H.H. Holmes, that was a good
Son
one.
Of Sam. H.H. Holmes is a great serial killer name. He's actually, I mean, I don't want to say my favorite, but he's the most interesting to me. So for over a year, I think he killed 6 people, wounded 7 others. But I think they say they don't know. Like he might have killed more people. He used a 44 caliber, so they called him. 44
caliber. He was called originally the 44 caliber killer. Caliber killer, excuse me. And then he became Son of Sam because I think he coined that himself.
I think he left a note. Yeah, I think calling himself
saying that a voice in his head.
No, the dog. There was a which I can relate to because I had an apartment with a dog that barked above me all the time and it drove me insane. So he said there was the black lab that lived downstairs spoke to him and basically told him to commit these murders, and he would kill just young couples that were basically at like their romantic like points, right? Like the points that look over the city.
Park
am I right?
Park arcs, yeah.
I saw the movie, and in the movie it was always kind of like, you know, when the people like on top of a mountain or like in like a park. And
no, it was like middle of the street. It could have been Queens Boulevard, which is a busy street, you know. So it wasn't a matter of being in a remote place. It could be under lots of times it was under a street lamp. You would be afraid to park underneath the street lamp. It was wild.
So he basically. He lost his mother at, you know, somewhat of a young age. He's a paranoid schizophrenic, went to the army. He was a good marksman. Comes out, he gets in trouble due to some arson and things like that. I'm sorry, he doesn't get in trouble, but he's an arsonist. So he's a little troublemaker. And then it starts to hear the demons, and he commits his first murder on, I believe, Christmas Eve. And he stabbed a young girl. But I don't think she ended up dying. And then he, all yonkers, all really right there. And then he kind of starts the, I don't want to generalize too much, but again, like the thing that you see in movies where like you leave notes and kind of, you killed some people, now you want like the notoriety, kind of let people know that. And I think that's kind of the first of its kind. And that's the summer, I think, of the blackout also, right? Like that was a very distinctly New York summer, 1977.
Well, I remember my older brothers decided to, your Aunt Cookie was out on a date. And it was, I guess, around after dark. So whenever darkness came, people would start to panic because that's when he did it in the evening. And your uncles decided, for whatever reason, to light a firecracker off in their bedroom thinking they could throw it out the window.
Smart.
Nice.
Well, the firecracker went off in the bedroom.
This is in Queens in 1977 while there is a murderer who only uses a gun.
Right.
Let's throw that out there.
So we are in our house. And grandpa, grandma, all of us, and we hear pop, pop, pop. It's the firecracker upstairs. We think it's gunshots outside. Well, everybody goes nuts.
That's crazy.
And then we realize it's the firecracker upstairs. I don't even want to tell you what grandpa did.
Well, I was going to say, what is the discipline for? I know my grandfather. What is the discipline for something like that, for making the entire neighborhood think they're about to get murdered?
They got a pretty good beating because he was terrified. He thought it was Aunt Cookie outside. So that's how real it was to us and how close it was to us. And it was a very uncomfortable summer. He would leave notes taunting the police. And you just didn't know where it was going to be, so, what community it was going to be.
Eventually, he goes after a couple, shoots them. He doesn't kill them, right? Or I think he kills the. I don't want to be wrong here, sorry, but I'm going a lot off of just.
There
kind
was
of
a witness, I think that
there
lived.
Was a witness to it. Yeah. One of the two people survived. She called the police. They kind of were going through the same thing with the description. All right, we're getting closer, but she reminded them that they were writing parking tickets on the street earlier that day, and through that they figure out which car was his,
right?
Because they're able to track people down. They catch him. He gets 25 to life. That is so the story about his rise, if you will, or his terror really isn't the interesting part. It's kind of how the city reacted and how it kind of changed the tone, because then like the Zodiac is around that time and a few others, and all the big, you know, the heavy hitter names that we've been dropping, you know, like Kaczynski, people like that all followed later. But I think it was one of the original kind of phenomena of serial killer. And, you know, in a city like New York, kind of peak like punk scene and like, you know, like when New York was kind of getting that come up, if you will. So like what.
And I think for like these copycat people, it was you couldn't escape it. It was on the news every minute. It was on the cover of every paper. So anybody that wants to be that, like a copycat, a look at me, this was their blueprint, you know, to do the same or try to be that person that everybody's talking about.
So Nando, do you think about things like that where you have a guy, you mentioned H.H. Holmes earlier, right? That's from like the 1920s or 30s. So serial killers weren't a new thing, but to make it about you, you know what I mean? To admire your work after the fact and taunt the whole city. And again, on the other side of the country, I don't know exactly. We should do a Zodiac episode one day, but on the other side of the country, around the same time, I think a little before or after, I'll look it up right now. You had the Zodiac killer who was kind of doing the same thing. And he's in the 60s, so that's beforehand. Sorry about that. But you had basically in the two biggest cities in the country, kind of people becoming celebrities and making not what we would call now, I guess, like a viral sort of sensation, right? About right. what, you know, about their crimes and things like that. And kind of where does that, I feel like you had an opportunity back then to not write about it and not glamorize what they were doing, but, and who knows what it could have not, what it would have led to in a good way. You know what I mean? Of people not kind of admiring that amount of attention.
But it sold, really I mean, it sold papers. Like it was, that was the, remember the Bronx is Burning? That was that summer too. Like I'm sure like Daily so, yeah, News, same. New York Post were going nuts selling papers.
It was on the cover of every single paper, every magazine, the talk of every news broadcast.
It did you have like
basically everywhere 24/7?
Did you have like a protocol, like a buddy system, or like a new walk home, yes. or like a change your route every day, or a code word?
Absolutely, yeah. My Aunt Cammie lived down the block. I wasn't allowed to go to her house, vice versa, once the sun went down, and she lived a half a block away. Going to school, we had to go buddy system. As many of us together to walk because we walk to school and coming home.
I picture you having like a very stereotypical comical neighborhood watch situation going on. And you're, what is it? Queens, Middle Village? Is this Middle Village?
Middle Village.
Yeah. So, I picture a very funny stickball armed neighborhood watch.
I don't remember that, but I do remember Grandpa and like Frank Libretto, Cammie's dad, being just, you do not go anywhere alone. You go in packs. And especially when the sun went down, because that's when he struck, when the sun went down.
But he had a gun, right? I mean, like, this seems to me like if he's strangling.
44 caliber.
Yeah. If he's like strangling women or if he's like stabbing them, then you're like, the packs help. But like with a gun, you could just shoot like six of you. You know, like, was that ever like a.
It wasn't, like, he would literally just walk up to a car. Boom, boom, right through the window.
Well, that's my thing, is I feel like the pattern doesn't match the panic. Where, like, he was being pretty, I get it, a murderer is a murderer, but, like, that it was happening. He'd walk up to the car at night and shoot you twice. Right. I feel like it's weird to, like, move around in packs. I thought it seems more like a hard curfew situation would have resolved a lot of this.
But you didn't know, because you didn't know, well, gee, is he going to change his way one day? So if I'm just walking alone on the street, but it was always couples. It was never one person. But you don't know.
I think that's what makes him scarier is the gun.
Because it's just so fast. You have no time to fight it off. You know, he's it's as if his arms are 8 feet long.
Right, you
know
can romanticize.
Like he can kill you from very far away, and that's not fair.
You can organize self-defense classes in the neighborhood to be like, if he comes after you with a knife or a rope, like this is how you step on his foot, you kick him from behind with like a gun, you're just like, oh, that's not much I can do.
Well, that's where, if you remember, Zodiac was a sniper. So like you could just, if you remember the DC sniper, remember that guy in the white van? That to me fucking sucks, where you're just like in it. You know, like you just, there's no pattern. You're just walking around. There's nothing you could do about that. Like that same kind of feeling, I guess, is.
I remember in school, we had an auditorium session where it was all about that. And this is what you need to do and be, keep your eyes open. Don't be foolish. Don't find yourself parked in cars. So it was that big a deal that it was mentioned at school.
Do you think that there's anything... I mean, I'm not trying to say that he... Just as far as production is concerned, and like getting things done, being a killer only a night in the summer very much limits your production value, like what you're able to put out there.
Thank God for that.
Right, I would agree, but I'm just saying, if Nanda,
well, you mean if he was doing it in the winter,
from a strategic standpoint, if you're a consultant, you're getting paid, you would tell him, hey, you opened your seasonal business in the wrong season here, bud. Right, you're trying to kill people at night.
Yeah, but when people want to be outside, like you're taking away a lot of joy from them. Right, like teachers are off during the summer.
It wasn't just the summer.
It was a few. I remember walking to school and being afraid.
Let me take a look.
See how long his reign was.
Oh, Chris, not doing his research, man. That's why this was a brainstorm episode.
Yeah. See.
Oh wait, you know why? It's the Son of Sam, but the movie was Summer of Sam. So they just talk about the summer. There was no research that went... Well, to be fair, I said that I had a different episode going into this, and then I did a Google, and then while these microphones were connected, Nando, correct me if I'm wrong, we made a speaker phone call and said, we might need you downstairs to do to be an expert here, because I didn't know that we had an expert in our midst.
I find this fascinating, though. I'm glad you did this.
Yeah, me too. This is fun, because it is something we've talked about as kids. You know, my mom is always... talking about it, you know, just kind of the things that you live through. And, you know, we talk about it for me a lot. You know, my mom will say, you know, you kids have lived through so much already, because we've had quite the history resume, I think, in my lifetime. I've been through like 3 recessions, 2 impeachments.
Pandemic? There's a pandemic in there?
I didn't even get to COVID yet. So, you know, is this something you consider to be like, where you feel the most attached to something in history? Because broad scale, like, I don't want to be dark, but like, you could think of September 11th, but like, that affected the whole country. Where this was more concentrated on where specifically you lived.
Well, when you just turned the computer around and showed me the photo, you know when you get that scared feeling in your chest?
Yeah.
I got that feeling with seeing his photo.
Was it everywhere? Oh, I guess no one knew what he looked like, right?
No, I remember the front pages being the cars and like the police with the body, you know, being covered and stuff like that. And then when, of course, he was caught, his photo was everywhere. But you couldn't escape it. It was everywhere. And you truly, truly lived in fear.
I also feel like there wasn't that much to do back then, you know? So, like, all you have to do is talk about how...
Well,
the thing is, the only thing to do is go out and do shit. Like, that's what everyone makes fun of us now, right? Nobody leaves the house or whatever. All you had to do then was, like, just go to the ice cream store. Just walk around the neighborhood and do things.
Right.
You know?
Just go to the ice cream store the first...
Sit.
Your first thing to do?
I feel like that was the thing, yeah. Go to the disco. I picture, like, a soda fountain type of thing all the time. I do.
You're really best, like, that's the 50s.
You know, I think right now I have a fear of going to the mall, movie theaters, because of shootings. Would you equate this to be your Son of Sam era?
Mine, I think, I could think about what mine, you know, the only time I ever felt like I was like, oh, I'm kind of in the middle of something, and this is super random, but I felt Cold War-y when like Kim Jong-un was someone that we didn't laugh at yet. You know what I mean? Like now, like he's like a goofy little guy now. You know? But that, when he first, remember when his dad died, then he took over, like, oh shit. Yeah. I felt that was the only time I felt like an attachment to history. Like, oh, I feel like this is my moment of that. Shootings and things, to be honest, I felt, I don't want to get into Matt like that all the way, but that was my biggest fear in high school. I definitely felt, but this is sad, but I think kids in high school now, I would guess, have maybe less of a fear of it and more of an acceptance of it, of something that they have to be worried about. Where mine was like, I had Columbine and a couple other things to reference, and they were big. I think Virginia Tech happened while I was in high school. And that was a scary one. But they were still so few and far between that it felt like a copycat could spring on at any minute, where now it seems like kids in school have like a protocol for it, and it's not expected, obviously, but it's like, again, accepted, where it's like, yeah, sometimes these things happen. It's really messed up. But yeah, I guess that would be. Now, do you have anything that brings you really close to a moment in time in history? I don't think. I have to think if I had something like that in my life. I don't think there was.
I don't think I had anything.
Again, like, I've had big, broad, I've had massive scale things, but not anything that's so direct, you know, a movie about my neighborhood kind of thing, no.
Yeah, like I was out of school when a lot of the shootings, I mean, Columbine happened when I was still in school. But that was so weird and so out of the order, you know what I mean? Like, that was like the first big one that it didn't, it's just like, oh, that happened, you know, in,
yeah,
in Colorado, a horrible thing. Like, there wasn't like a wave of them at that point.
Well, you know what, really, I think, man. Go ahead.
I was going to say,
what I think
really
is distinctly American style of panic is like the first time something happens, you kind of need to blame it on a more organized version of crimes. Like, do you remember the trench coat mafia?
Yes.
Like, that wasn't like, that wasn't a, nobody went into mental illness or gun control or anything like that. It went immediately into like video games, Marilyn Manson, Eminem, and that was the thing, the trench coat mafia. Like, it was a gang of people that were going to be doing this. And basically anybody with a long coat, you had to be scared shitless of. So that was, I guess, to your point, Ma, no, I don't feel that way about malls and movie theaters and things, because I think you have to live your life after a while. But not to, you know, it's terrible, but, you know, what can you do? But Columbine was weird. Columbine to Virginia Tech, that time.
So that's a connection point to you, as I'm saying, a school and being in a school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was, because I was afraid of two things. I never wanted to get drafted. And I never wanted to be in a school shooting. I was never one of those people. And you know me, I don't run away from conflict or anything, but I was never one of those people that were like, I would run right to the fight and I would protect the school. I'd be like, I'm fucking out. I was always looking for a way out. And that was a scary thing. There used to be bomb threats and shooting threats, if you remember.
Yes.
Every 420, every September 11th, weird things at our school that we would get. And they would move you to the same part of the school every time. Like if there was a bomb threat. So in my head, I was like, if you know that and you would place a bomb, you would place it where the people would go to hide, you know, like where the instruction was to go. You know what I mean?
Right.
With me, Nando?
I got you. Yeah.
And I would just leave. I would just like walk out of school and be like, I'm not doing that shit. Because that was a real kind of fear of mine. I want to go into a few other things before we go too down this rabbit hole. Son of Sam was good. I wish I took a little bit more research on it, but again, it was a last-minute topic.
Oh, you know what else your mom might have lived through? Before, like, go through your list. Go ahead.
Well, yours seems more specific. Mine is as all over the place as we can get, but I think we could pick our next episode. Oh, and I have an idea while we have my mom here, but you go ahead.
No, I wanted to ask about Gary Hart, because I was at with the National Collectors Convention, and I actually didn't make it, but I had my deputy editor like taking pictures of things that he thought that I thought were cool, which he was right about. One of them was like this big table of political buttons. And I'm like, there's a $5 Gary Hart for president button there. Could you please get that for me? And he did, but he's
oh my
like,
God,
who's
Gary Hart?
But he goes, who's Gary Hart? I'm like, you don't know who Gary Hart? I mean, he's younger, but he's not that much younger. And I'm like, it's an amazing story. Like what happened to Gary Hart and how badly he messed up.
I don't know who
up.
Gary Hart is.
Chris, you would love him.
I don't know who he is.
He challenged. So like, so he was, I mean, maybe your mom could like clarify this as we go along, but like the very like simplistic view of it is he was this dude who was like 30 points ahead in the polls to get the Democratic nomination in 88, I think it was. But there are all these rumors, you know, he's like a womanizer, you know, he's got these mistresses, and he's like, oh yeah, you think, follow me, I dare you, you're not going to find anything, you're going to be bored. Like the next week they caught him with one of his mistresses like coming out of the back of his house, like as blatant as you could be. And then someone had a picture of her, this woman, Donna Rice, on his lap. Like this very famous
Donna
picture.
Rice.
On
that's a
boat, a
great name.
On a boat called the Monkey Business. And like,
yes.
I mean, it just, and
come
it completely
on.
Destroyed, completely,
so
completely, completely destroyed him. Like that dude could have been president for two terms, you know, in an alternate universe. And he blew it because he antagonized a bunch of people and then was stupid like 3 days later. Like, it's a crazy story, like, how history could shift like that.
Well, he was a narcissist because he...
I'm getting Warren Beatty vibes from Gary
Hart.
No,
he believed he couldn't be touched because he was so popular. And well, then there he goes. Boom.
In his defense, I've seen a man say that he could shoot somebody in broad daylight in the middle of New York City and not lose his fan base.
He
so
didn't.
And become president. So he was... You could argue before his time. Because we've seen multiple situations of mistresses and things not slow Democrats and Republicans down. So Gary Hart, you were just a man before your time, my friend.
Before his time.
That's what we, yo, Nando, that's going to be an episode for us one day. Who was just at the wrong time? Like, who are people?
Right place, wrong time.
Right place, wrong. Who are people now that would have thrived back then? Who are people back then that would have thrived now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because Gary Hart, a simple, something like a mistress is really, I mean, light work these days. That's if you're a good enough matador, you could just olay right around that. That doesn't matter.
Just don't do it. Just take a month and a half off or something, you know, like, or go somewhere a little more discreet than your apartment. That's all. That's all
I'm
asking.
I think, and this is the thing, I don't think anyone, history is going to forget this as technology gets better. But I don't think anybody, like before you said something between 1950s and 1970s, like, oh, that's more 50s than 70s, right? To me, and this is ignorant on my end, but I'm going to argue it till I'm dead. There's not a huge difference. They changed a few things in that 20-year span, really like 40 years, all the way up to like 1990. Of like, it was just how we consume things and how we said things and how we wore things. But everything was generally the same. Technology didn't advance so fast. Cars went a little faster, but they still did the same thing. They played music the same way. You buckled in the same way. The laws were basically the same.
But so, now everybody knows faster.
Well, that's my point. So now back then, being a guy like Gary Hart to say, try it, find out. There was no drone. There was no tracking technology that was... And he, you know, you could put something the size of a brick on someone's bumper and hope they didn't know, and it would like beep. But there was no sneaky ways to catch people that were, you know, difficult. So in his defense, I guess, why not be like, yeah, try it? Because people were probably getting away with everything under the sun back then, you know. And
don't issue,
I think,
direct
people
challenges
forget
like
how hard. Well, yeah, I mean, definitely like, don't either
do you
way.
Want that guy
I guess
your country?
They, I understand. I understand that ignorance a little bit more, I think, than others kind of are willing to, because it's like this guy didn't understand. Like, this is the turning of everything. Like, the past, when, so we're talking about 1988, it looks like, or 84. So this is the very beginning of kind of like, in my opinion, like that kind of gotcha shit, right? This is fresh off the heels of Nixon, I'm assuming, right? You have different within like that same kind of political
era. It was off Reagan.
Era.
It was coming off of Reagan.
Reagan.
Oh, because I just see Nixon's name.
Nixon's, I was a kid with Nixon.
Oh, he
I
went
remember,
against
that was
Nixon.
Nothing. Watergate. I lived through Watergate.
Watergate. Well, I had the Clinton. We should compete one day because I had Clinton. I'll trade you a Clinton for a Nixon. I mean, Watergate was the bigger scandal. Clinton, I still feel like skated a little bit, like reputation-wise, where the 90s were... Nando, we did a whole 90s episode once, but the 90s were just such a kind of chill time, like of everybody being like, just sort of... We were saying the currency back in the 90s was to not care about shit. Like, that was like the coolest you could be.
Right.
Was to be like the grungy, I don't really care.
When Watergate was happening, it was only 2, 4, 7, 9, 11, and 13. There was no cable.
The channels?
Right? And every channel,
yeah,
played
know what you
it
meant for
constantly.
A
just it what? Was, you'd turn on the TV, I'm a kid, 9, 10, 11 years old, however old I was, and Watergate's on for 12 hours a day. That's all there was.
It's the one thing that I never got that excited about, like, as far as scandals are concerned, Watergate. Because to me, it was like, I feel like he got caught doing something everyone does. And it's like, I get it, but yeah. Why are we still talking? Like, to this day, I got to keep
guess
hearing
it's
about
cause
it.
At that time, it was the first of its scandal like that. On such a broad scope.
Nando, you wanted to see my notebook here while we have probably like 5 minutes or so?
I would love to. Yes. On many levels, but for this show, yes, too.
All right, just because this was the show we meant to do today, and I want to at least feel like that we, you know, we accomplished what we woke up setting out to do. One, at one point, Pepsi Cola was the sixth largest military in the world. Does anyone know about that?
Military?
Yes.
Clearly, I don't.
I didn't either.
So we won't get all the way into it, But basically, the U.S. arranged a national expedition to Moscow to kind of just, it looked like just the kind of flex of like all the things that we have. And, you know, from like a military perspective, I think they gave like a bottle of Pepsi, or the Soviets kind of being introduced to Pepsi and like falling in love with it. And they wanted to bring it in. And they kind of, again, we'll do a full brainstorm on this, and I have notes on it, but I want to get through all of them. And long story short, Pepsi ends up taking like military grade weapons as payment for Pepsi.
So it brings a whole new thought process to the phrase Pepsi Challenge.
Yeah, it was tanks, planes. They had the sixth largest military in the world at one point.
Do you remember that summer when Pepsi had that thing where if you opened up the can, a $5 bill could pop out?
No, I like that idea, though.
That's not sanitary. How'd that happen?
Well, that's actually what happened.
I think maybe the idea is you're not supposed to drink the Pepsi.
Yeah, the hydraulics didn't work in some cans. People got sick, so they had to stop it. But there were commercials and everything. Like, this is the summer of Pepsi, where they'd open it in like a $5 bill, $20. I think movie tickets. Things would just pop right out of the can.
I don't remember that at all.
I feel like Pepsi's always finding themselves in a weird position marketing-wise. They had the clear Pepsi, this $5 thing. They had they have the Netflix thing where they owe somebody a jet because they said you could like win a jet and someone sued them and won. Pepsi's always kind of they kind of write checks that their mouth can't cash sometimes, you know. Article 2: Beware of blue eyes. It's medical at the time. Some of the best medical minds in the world saying that basically you should leave people with blue eyes alone. They're non-trustworthy sleuths.
Wow. Chris, where does that leave us?
That leaves us as non-trustworthy sleuths. It's all medically backed information about how people with blue eyes just they don't have the same moral compass as others. Because Nando, and now this goes into the next thing. Lobotomies is the next thing written down. So far, what I have written in my notebook was Pepsi's sixth largest military, lobotomy, beware of blue eyes. I have an obsession.
Did you ever read Italo Calvino?
I'll
save that for another day.
I just love the way, you know how I don't really trust doctors all that much? No offense to all the doctors that I'm sure listen to Chris 3 all the time. I don't trust them because I feel like they just know what they can know. They can't know more. Like, they just know what the book tells them to read, right? They don't know a whole lot.
Yeah, but they've read clearly more books than you, so right. They are better.
But the people in whatever year from the Blue Eyes thing read more than the people back then. And their assessment was like, if you have blue eyes, you're probably clinically insane and not trustworthy. And then it would be like if a woman gave birth and was depressed after, which we would now call postpartum, they'd be like, clearly she needs electroshock therapy. I just love the way doctors jumped into shit throughout history. I love the examples of it. I think it's really funny. I've always wanted to do an episode on it, but it's too much. Like, it's like one of those things that the more I find out, the more I don't know. You know what I mean? Are you familiar with the Straw Hat Riots?
No.
Of 1922?
Yes.
What do you know about the Straw Hat Riot? This, I love the idea of this.
I vaguely remember, I think, did we talk about it or did Daddy talk about it?
It might have been in a, like a family brainstorm session. It could have been. But basically, there were a series of minor riots that lasted 8 days because, after autumn, it was considered
taboo
to wear a straw hat, and men just weren't having it. Men said no, they're not dealing with it, and they rioted for 8 days in September, because September 15th was the unofficial date that it was socially acceptable to wear a straw hat. I love that.
Have How you violent were they? About the Salem witch trials?
No, I should talk to you and Dad about it, though, because you went to Salem, didn't you?
But because it was very short-lived, and they make it sound like it went on for years.
Well, you know what else was short-lived? The pirate era. The Golden Age of Pirates was like 5 years long. You know that, Nando? All the famous pirates were like in the same like 3 year span, 5 year span.
I didn't know that. Our flag means, or watched Our Flag Means Death.
What did you think of it?
I love it. I love it.
I loved it. I love pirate shit. I don't know if you know that about me.
No, I didn't. I mean, I would guess it. If you gave me like five facts, yes.
Do you remember the pirate in your room?
Five facts of what?
Oh, no, we're on a delay again.
Yeah, I heard. All right, so let me get through the rest. Lobotomies was the other thing written down. And then the cow mutilation of the 70s. So that's what we missed out on today. But I think we should bring back the Straw Hat Riots and the Zoot Suit Riots. And then, you remember that song? Zoot Suit Riot?
That's when I was in college, and it was the swing era.
That's I was in the third grade. I sang that song in a concert in the third grade while you were in college doing keg stands.
That can't be right.
I'm pretty sure it's right. I'm sorry to do that to you. You know why I know it's right? Because that's when I was pretending to play trumpet. I was in the school band because everyone else was, and I wanted to play trumpet. And Zoot Suit Riot, if you remember the song, had a pretty impressive brass section. And I just pretended to play it. I had the trumpet in my hand, and I was just blowing that thing. I got like cheeks puffed out, not making a single noise, just tapping buttons and moving my head and like shaking my shoulders, faking Zoot Suit Riot in the third grade. Oh shit! All right, I feel like we started strong. We're dying off. So before this peters out, Mom, I thank you.
Thank you.
Your son of Sam expertise. Now that we know how to do this, kind of, anytime, you know, please feel free to come into the studio anytime you'd like.
My pleasure.
Nando?
Thank you, Nando.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Wow, that's a bad delay.
I know. Keep saying it. I can't cut it out in the edit.
I didn't know you planned on cutting it out. I just wanted to own it so the audience didn't think we're trying to get away with something.
Let's own it. We had a wonderful, okay. The two of them are in a room together, and I'm in the car.
Hey, man, we did our best here. And that being said, good job. This went great.
Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.